Today on Down with Didi, my mom will be having a conversation with BWB Positivity.
DWD! What? Wait, no, BWB. I'm DW. Wait, Down with Didi. You know what?
Oh, yeah, we are so close.
Last night when I was doing your like little, I do comments for all the guests in the website, and I was going BWB on DW. Oh, God. And I'm dyslexic, so I was like, everything was all over the place. Let me start over. Thank you so much for coming on Down with Didi, Bruce. Let's just use that. That's easy. Bruce, I am so excited to have you on because I want to introduce you to all of my followers and people who listen or watch my podcast or just even my Instagram, because I've been following you for a while and, yes, stalking you. And I just freaking adore your energy and what you're doing with your sobriety. And it's infectious. And
oh, thank you.
I just was like, ooh, I love this guy. So it took me a while to get the courage to ask you if you would be on my.
I'm so glad you did. And it's so lovely to meet you. And thank you so much for having me on your podcast and for gearing up the gumption to ask. I too have been following you, and just the energy and what you give is just not replaceable. And I can't thank you enough for that. So to have our paths cross is really an honor.
You know, this is kind of how I am with my Instagram, because it's a social media, which can be a negative thing, but the way I find to be a positive thing is I've met some amazing people by following them, because I love their messages or their photos or their work when it comes to wildlife or sobriety or recovery or mental health or just being part of the solution. My sister has a perfume. People are like, well, who cares about that? I'm like, do you care about the poison you're putting on your body? You know what I mean? So I think that we all are kind of part of the solution if you choose to be. And this is what you're doing with your sobriety. And this is what I love about this show, is that there's so many people, you know, still struggling out there.
Yes.
And when you come on your Instagram or wherever it is your socials are, because I only do Instagram because I'm pretty limited in my abilities to even post correctly.
it's okay.
Yeah, DJ's like, well, you kind of forgot Dash Radio. And I'm like, oh yeah, let me go back. I'm constantly editing. But, you know, you just, you don't give up. And what I love is sometimes when you pop on, you're like, hey, man, having a bad day.
Yeah.
And you're just real and raw. And then my heart goes to you and I go, oh, I just want to reach through your podcast and go, oh, come here, let me give you a hug. And when I tag it and or heart it is what I like to say. And I say, you know, I say a little thing. I am hugging you. Right.
Yeah. Yes, you are. Absolutely. The response is incredible. It's very much a two-way street. What I do, I don't do anything for views or camaraderie or anything like that, because as you said, there are so many people who are still in the darkness, who are struggling with their mental health, addiction, overcoming from trauma, or just trying to get out of their own way and be a better person for themselves. And they haven't quite yet tapped into or figured out how to do that for themselves, because they think that they're not where they need to be in life. And they think that they're behind and they're comparing themselves. And I'm like, no, wait. The earth is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. It's going fast enough for all of us. Slow down. You're doing fine. Like, you know, it can be as simple as that. And it really is, you know, when I see people just like a video or they just drop emojis in the comment, like little hearts, you know, they don't really need to say anything, but that is so personal to me, because I see they got it. They heard the message and maybe a little light went off in them that they can move forward just a little bit more. And that's the reward in itself.
It's so true. This is what I always say to my followers as well. It's a ricochet effect. You know, when I do my random thoughts, and they're random, and even when I'm talking about one thing, I all of a sudden I'm talking about something else, and then I'm ending with something else, and I had no idea I was going there.
Right.
But it comes from my heart. It's genuine. It's real, and it resonates with even with one person.
Yes.
And they go, oh, I needed to hear that today. I go, bam, thank you. There you go. And I go off going, I did something good today. You know, one person said, I needed to hear that. Or I sent this to my sister, or I sent this to my husband, or what, right? You know?
Yeah.
A big one, you know, and I love that. I go, okay, then that's what it's about. Because you're right, we can get wrapped up in the minutiae, the numbers, the likes, the, all this kind of stuff, right? But mm-hmm. I was always told, just put one foot in front of the other, do the next indicated action, stay on your path of your sobriety, your authentic self, what that might look like for you. It may look different than everybody else's, but here's the catch. That's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I noticed that you don't have a cookie cutter way of doing this. You're doing it your way, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And with no apologies. And other people are like, well, you know, is he doing the 12 steps or is he doing, you know, what is he doing? I'm like, I don't know what he's doing. I don't care, but he's doing it and it's effective, right?
Yes. There's many different ways to do it. You know, like you said, it's not cookie cutter. One shoe doesn't fit everyone. And people get sober, whether they go to meetings, do the 12 steps, or they just make the choice for themselves. Just like, hey, that was enough for me. That rock bottom was really uncomfy and I never want to go there again. And then they never pick up a drink. My mom has a friend that she was a stewardess with for 25 years for Western Airlines. And she went to meetings, oh, maybe like the first few months of her sobriety. She's now like 40 years sober. And since the first few months of her journey, she's never gone back to a meeting. But she's also never picked up a drink or a drug. So whatever works for you, do it.
I'm a big advocate of that, because when I did use the 12 steps, because the recovery rehab mm-hmm. that I went to, that was their foundation, which was absolutely fine. But my personal counselor was very open-minded to my being able to make it my own, because there's a lot of stuff that didn't resonate with me. But she was like, well, then go in and start marking that book up and make it, turn it
yeah.
into, you use the foundation. And, you know, so it gave me a great foundation. I went to the 12-step program every day for a year. I took a year off of college that I was finishing my last year. I'm raising two kids on my own, had this monkey in my back. I was in my 50s. Dude, I was in my 50s when I got sober, going through menopause. Sexy, let me tell you. Nothing wow. more sexy than when you're in a rehab and you're going through menopause and you got two kids at home who are going, is she going to come back with a third eye? I mean, my whole family had no idea what this was going to be. I mean, think about it. It's such a mystery. You know, when you go away for 30 days, intensive, no one heard from you. They don't know if you're going to come back, you know, brainwashed or, you know, and I did come back with the lingo.
Yeah.
And I was told immediately by my son, jump out of stay in your own lane, mom. And I actually taught him that term, which immediately got thrown back at me.
Yep. Yeah, it's a different side when that happens.
Yeah, one of the things I think is really important, I talked to a lot of my guests on the show about that, is the once you decide to make that life change, which I call a rebirth, the minute you decide, I want to change, whether it's addressing mental health or an addiction or anything, when the minute you say, like you said, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to change. The trajectory mm-hmm. of your life from there on in changes, and it's a rebirth. Well,
yes.
What happens with the rebirth? You got to learn how to walk all over again, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you're a baby or an animal, you first start to walk, unless you're one of those animals that pops out and they start running, which was one of my sons.
Oh, good.
He came out, he didn't even do the crawling thing. He started scaling it off. I'm like, ah,
but oh my gosh.
These normal children, you walk and you fall, you get back up, you walk, you fall, you know what I mean? And so early sobriety is no different. And sometimes learning to strengthen those sober legs or recovery legs or mental health new legs, whatever you want to call it, is literally learning how to walk again. And when you view it that way, hopefully one can have a little compassion for yourself and each other. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh, they're not using anymore, now they should behave normal, is what the people around you would say, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, define normal, motherfucker.
Really?
Really, I wasn't though. Normal when I was born, and I'm not going to be normal now that I'm sober. I'm probably going to get even more weird.
Yeah, well, I know I did. I know I did, but I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, once you make that choice and you really, I love how you said that. It's the rebirth, and then you have to learn everything over again. People yeah. think that, oh my gosh, it's just going to be amazing when I get sober or when I start doing the next right thing for myself for whatever journey it is that they're on in their healing journey. And yes, it is amazing because you're present.
Yeah.
And you're there and you're able to make the next right choice, but it is just as hard and just as painful. You know, I was numbing from with drugs and alcohol for so long that when I sobered up, I had to feel.
Exactly.
Like everything that I was running from, I now had to go and face that. And it is, if you let the excuse, it allowed me to relapse again and again and again. And then finally I was like, just go through it. Just go through it. And then my life blossomed in a way that I can't even explain. And that doesn't mean every day is amazing. You know, I'm here with my mom who is entering the end of her life and taking care of her and feeling those emotions and watching her go through that is incredibly painful. She's my mother, you know, but I'm able to do it because I'm present and because I'm not destroying my own life. If I was destroying my own life, I would be no help here at all.
You know, you made actually a really good point there. I always say relapses are like getting knocked down in the ring. You mm-hmm. can look at the going down, getting knocked in the head or whatever, and going down. Or you can focus on that fighter got back up again.
Yep.
Got right back up again and stayed in the goddamn game. Excuse my language, man. Today I'm just like a trucker. But you got me riled, baby. But you know what I mean? And so people are like, oh, they relapse like crazy. I'm like, hold on. That to me sounds like someone who's fighting for their life.
And
they're trying. They're not giving up. Yeah, but how can you keep relapsing? First of all, I don't expect you to understand because you don't have the disease of addiction. I mean, mm-hmm. so there's that. And that's okay. It's any more than I expect them to understand what it feels like to have cancer. They don't understand that either, right? That's okay. Yep. I have compassion. I leave space and room for you not to understand that. But I think one of the reasons why I started this show was to try to reduce some of the social stigma that, you know, and just the sting that goes with that word, the judgment that goes with that word versus, mm-hmm. wow, we're fighting for our lives. And those who like you who have relapse in as part of your story is, I see a fighter going, uh-uh. Maybe next time you get back up, you need to change your strategy because you got hit in the face and you went down. Maybe, you know what I mean? So it's getting up, number one. Number two, maybe I need another strategy. Because if you keep going up and redoing the same thing, that's insanity. You're doing the same thing, expecting a different choice, a different outcome, right?
Yeah.
If there was one thing you can say about your recovery or sobriety that really is just something that warms your heart or, I don't know, resonates with you, what would you say it is? Because for all of us, it's something a little different. For me, it's the shame. I made it my mission right now with my podcast and just always, hi, Dee Dee Pfeiffer, nice to meet you. I'm sober. And they're like, okay, what was that about? And I'm like, just trying to get rid of that social stigma so that I can help reduce the shame. Because shame keeps you in your disease a lot longer than you need to be.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mine would be the guilt. Oh. Mine would be guilt if, you know, and I think that goes neck and neck with shame. And you just said it, if you hold on to the shame and you hold on to guilt or the pity party, like, oh, poor me, you're going to stay down and you're going to stay stuck and you're going to beat yourself up. Your addiction is beating yourself up enough. You don't need to do any more than that. So the last time I relapsed, the very next day, was I hungover? Yes. Did I have shame and guilt for a second? And I immediately kicked it out the door. I was like, nope, that's just going to hurt me. So I actually don't care that I relapsed. What I care about is that I am sober right now and I'm going to move forward. Sure, I feel like shit. Yes, but you know, I don't have to feel that way ever again. And that's what I'm going to hold on to. And that's what gives me motivation and hope and inspiration to keep going. And then the next day, that relapse almost seems like it was so far ago, but I don't forget it. I really never forget it because, as they say, you know, those things that you forget, you're doomed to repeat. So holding on to it as healthy as possible, but to be able to let go and forgive yourself and not care about the worries or the opinions of others of what their stigma might be against your own disease that you are going through, that they are not going through. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that we're making the next right choice for ourselves. And if we can do that and just keep going and be better than the version we were 5 minutes ago, then you're doing the right thing and you're right where you need to be. And that's what I have to remind myself when I fall down. You know, it's not why I fell down. Yes, I have to look at that strategy, as you said, of like, okay, where did I trip up here and not repeat that again? But it's not about the falling down. It's about how quickly I got back up and how much farther I got and how much further I keep going. It's just a beautiful thing. And for anyone who's struggling with it, I really want you to know that there's so much help out there, 12-step programs, counseling. I mean, there's so many different platforms now online where you can go, like BetterHelp, you know, if you don't have insurance, yeah, it might be a little expensive, but is the investment for yourself worth it? Maybe stop going out to dinner where it's $100 a plate and put that towards your better health, or, you know, like, and not everyone can afford, but you know what I mean. So,
yeah.
And there's also 988 that you can dial 988-988. And I think it's the mental health crisis hotline where people are just ready, willing, and able to help you. You know, you're never alone in this, which is why I'm going to shout out myself here.
Love this. I wanted you to talk about your book, because after I graduated from UCLA, like 5 years ago, I swore I'd never read again or do research paper again. Because it was really hard. I was 10 years in college.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm a right brain person. I said, I will never read again. And they're like, that doesn't even make any sense. But let's talk about your book, because I do want to read it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it's exactly why I wrote my book. It's called How to Breathe While Suffocating, A Story of Overcoming Addiction, Recovering from Trauma, and Healing My Soul by Bruce W. Brackett. It's on pre-order now, anywhere that books are sold. And I first started to write it because I wanted to get it out of me and just put it on paper. I really didn't care if anyone read it. I just needed, it was almost like journaling for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I started it 14 years ago, and then I went through a plethora of different addictions and distractions and sex addiction. And I mean, I went loose in New York City.
Well, addiction is whack-a-mole. We know that. So people,
yeah.
It's whack-a-mole. Yeah.
And I want that to be very specific, that I chose to put that dream down on a shelf and to destroy my life. And I went back and forth doing this for 14 years. And then finally, when I really started my sobriety journey, I've been sober from hardcore drugs for almost 10 years now. And I'm in my first year with alcohol and weed and, mm-hmm. you know, and it's still something I struggle with, but I wrote this book. Now I'm realizing that I wrote this book to just be there for other people who are struggling, mm-hmm. who feel like they'll never be able to get out of the darkness that they're in, that, you know, this is the life. Well, I just might as well accept it and live it. No, you absolutely do not have to do that. You can turn your life into whatever it is that you want, no matter if it's, you know, again, addiction, trauma, mental health, you're stuck in the wrong job that you don't want to be in. You know, there's so many different examples. And finally, I was just like, someone did that for me. Someone came and helped navigate me out of my own flames and pulled me out of that. They didn't do the work for me, but they helped guide me along the way. Yeah. Therapists, counselors, rehabs, inpatient, outpatient, you name it, you know? So to have that be a part of my life, I was like, now that I'm on this side of the fire, how can I do that for others? Which is exactly why I wrote this book. I'm so proud of it. Like you said, graduating from UCLA, never wanting to read or write anything again. Honey, I've never read a book, let alone written one, you know? Like, so, and my partner, I was busy doing drugs. I wasn't reading
a
book.
You're like, honey, I don't have time for reading. It's hard when you're high on meth to read. Did you notice that?
It is. I know.
Well, they tested me for college, and they said, well, when I graduated in 82. 82, where you probably weren't even born, that no cell phones, no, nothing. And they said, huh. So they gave me an assessment, and I kept asking, there's a typo. And they're like, what are you talking about, ma'am? I said, well, it says 2 plus X equals 5. There's an X in there. That's a typo. What is it supposed to be? They're like, that's what you need to solve. I said, but there's an X with numbers. It does. They're like, ma'am, it's algebra.
Right. Yeah.
And I said, well, but it's a, they're like, oh God, just put an answer down. Clearly you, yeah. Like I didn't, you notice I keep getting like in this beautiful light.
I know. Yeah.
It started when you started talking about this help that you got. And then I became like all of a sudden embrace. Wow. Okay. Oh, wow. Now I'm in the cloud.
Look, you've got like rainbows happening here.
Seriously?
Yes.
It's because of you. I'm telling you, your energy. Like I sometimes just go like this. I go right to you and like the animal videos on my Instagram and then my friends and I tag it, you know. But when you, oh, there we go. And then when you come around, I go, I don't care what he's saying. Sometimes I can't turn the volume up because it makes my dog bark. I don't know why your voice makes my dog bark. I think he's talking to you.
Well, and it also might be the fan.
I think it's, yeah, yep, the fan for sure. So sometimes yeah. I have to hear it so low. I'm not sure what you're saying, but I feel your energy and I just tag it anyways.
Oh, so thank you. I think
that this is the universe just going, oh, we love this. Because I keep getting all, now it's gone. What the?
You're being amazing. Visited by the angels.
Well, let's go there. Let's go there. Can we talk? Well, first of all, your book, we're going to telehelp everybody know about your book. For those of you who actually like to have a book in your hands, especially like when you're flying or, you know, it's just some people now are actually going under trees and going outside and actually reading a book again. We're going back to that.
Yeah, your face and I love out of that.
Out of your phone, out of your computer, out of your, like, oh, I can have it on my iPad thing or whatever that is. And I'm like, or you could do a book.
Yeah. Pick a different hobby. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very personal to me. It is available now on pre-order Amazon, okay. Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore. You can go and you can have them pre-order it. It will be available April 9th on the shelves. You'll be able to have a physical copy of it. And I will be doing the audio version of it as well. I'll be narrating it, and that will come out sometime in June. So, How to Breathe While Suffocating by Bruce W. Brackett, and I really love it.
I am so excited. Are you gonna also, you have your fans on your Instagram, you do this amazing, I was trying to tell my sister how you do this thing where you jump up in the air. I can't even, like, I'm like, oh my god. And I was trying to describe it. She says, what are you doing? I go, I can't do it the way he does it, but it's like, negativity be gone. He does this kick in the air. And she's like, I trust you. And she, okay, wow, cloud again. So for those who are listening, not hearing, there's this phenomenon going on with our video right now. Oh, wow. Even I see all these colors coming in.
Yeah.
There is a frequency and an energy change that's happening in the visual aspect of this podcast, which is really special. And it bleeds right into, I think that's my cue to say, oh, here we go, BWB. That's what I will always call you. Sorry, I have no idea this Bruce name guy. BWB, do you believe in the paranormal or the supernatural? And if so, why? And if not, why? As my cloud and rainbows surround me visually.
Right? I know, as you're being visited. Yes, I absolutely do. I've had actually quite a few experiences with it. And even while I'm here with my mom, I do believe that there is paranormal, another world. I believe that there are things that are around us right now that we, in our human capacity, are not able to see. My partner, Teo, and I have been visited before on vacations. And we were in this love shack in the Poconos at a resort. And we were both in bed in the middle of the night. And he woke up and he saw this green mist floating around the room. And I mean, it was solid because it went behind a pillar and reappeared again. And he's kind of starting to be like, Bruce. And he starts to shake me to wake me up. And I mean, he is trying with all of his might to wake me up. Nothing. I would not wake up. And then in the morning, when he was telling me about this, I was like, ah, well, it didn't have any business with me. It had every business to do with you. So that was all about you, you know? I've had different energies where after my grandfather died, and I mean, it was like maybe a year and a half, 2 years after he died. And I ended up having his dresser move down from his room down to my room. And I opened up the dresser drawer, and it was which I've opened many, many times since his passing. But this one time I opened it, and the smell of him just, I mean, it was like he was in the room, which mm-hmm. he probably was.
Wow.
And same situation when he passed away. my brother at the time was in prison and he passed away. And my brother did not know that he passed away, but he came to him in his cell. And that's when he was like, I'm in prison. How did you get in here? Type of a thing. And actually saw him. And I've even posted videos in my house in the Poconos where you can see orbs start to
dance around. Orbs are like little puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Orbs are- I mean, just right now in this experience watching you and having the energies of the sun mixing. And I don't know if there's a window by you or what, but there's a lot of, I mean, for lack of a better term, a pink cloud that's happening.
Oh, yeah. In sobriety. Let's explain what that means in sobriety. That's for people who are normies. I get a lot of normies who follow me.
Yeah. Okay. So the pink cloud basically is right when you become sober and life gets really good. You feel good. You think I've got this. And, you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory from now on. And then you hit the end of the pink cloud when you really start to feel things. So you fall out of that illusion that everything is just great and amazing. And you're kind of in this natural high where things are going so well, but then you face reality again and life on life's terms. And it kind of pops that bubble a little bit. And that's the test. Life's going to happen and it's going to pop your bubble. Well, how do you get through that? And then eventually, I do believe that eventually you get sober enough and you build the tools enough that you do find yourself in a constant state of joy. Anger can come through that. Sadness can come through that. Grief can come through that. Every emotion and feeling can come through that state of joy. What I've learned is, everyone just wants to be happy. Everyone just wants to be happy. That's the goal in life. People just want to be happy. Snap out of it. That's not the reality. Happiness comes from happenings, which begin and end. Joy is a state that you can be in no matter what feeling and what emotion you're going through. You can still find a place of gratitude in that moment. If you're tuned enough, if you're willing to do that work for yourself, yes, of course. And, you know, people come to me all the time with negativity be gone. It's not a reality. Like, they think I'm delusional thinking that negativity is not real. No, that's why I say negativity be gone, because I identify that it's real. I identify that if I give into that, I'm going to stay there. I'm a huge manifester. So if I give into that, that's where I'm going to stay. But if I choose, even if I don't want to, if I choose a different side of it, okay, well, I'm going to find gratitude and I'm going to find one thing that's positive and I'm going to go in that direction. Mm-hmm. Look at what happened to my life. It exploded in a way that I can't even explain and that I'm so grateful for. And it's all about the choice of the direction you want to go.
Absolutely. It reminds me of that saying, which I have to remind myself of often. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional.
Oh, I love that. Yes, absolutely.
I forgot I had written that. I was wise at my young age. In my teens, to a friend of mine who was having some issues, and she's also in her 50s. I'm about to be 60 next week on the New Year. I'm a New Year baby.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, she's turning 60. I'm not doing 60. That is boring. I'm doing 60. Okay.
I love that. Yes.
Now, when you get to your fitties, which you will, when have your fitty party has to be like, just do something fun. And then fitty one, fitty two. My only issue is 60 or 70. I don't know how fun. I mean, I have fun with fitties. Now I'm going to be 60 and be 61, 62. 70. You have to help me figure out what is fun about 70. Like, how there's nothing rhymes with it. It doesn't go with anything. 70. Memedy. Levity. 70 and it does. It's kind of like orange. Nothing rhymes with
nothing
it.
Nothing goes with orange. Yeah.
Oranges, porringes. Who says oranges, porringes?
Right. Yeah.
Who says? 70. Yes, I just totally aged myself there too. 70. But you're right about that. I always talk about thoughts became feelings becomes behavior. It's a triad. And I love the Dr. Joe Dispenza, who I follow because I think he's really an interesting, smart man, says, we're going to change the world when we change the way we think. Right? Mm-hmm. If you think, if you change the way you think about yourself, change the way you think about your addiction, your disease, you know, here's another one. I love this one. You have a story. You are not your story.
Yes.
That yes. one, I when I heard that in rehab, something clicked. Because mm-hmm. I was my story for so long. And especially when you have an addiction, gives you an excuse to behave badly. It gives you an excuse to drink or to use or whatever. Like you or me, mm-hmm. you drink too, or you would use meth too, or you would basically treat yourself as what you're doing like shit. Because somewhere along the line, you believed hook, line, and sinker that you are your story. And when I was yep. able to separate that and say, wait a minute. No, not today, Felicia. I have a damn story.
Yeah.
And the minute I actually made that separation was the beginning of my rebirth. And I knew going back to drinking, smoking cigarettes and everything else I was doing, right? Just allowed me permission to become my story again, like that victim again. And that, you know, and that's why I see people like you and all the thousands and millions of people around the world who are doing what we're doing right in their way. I go, yeah, that's right. You go.
Yes.
You know, you go, because let's show everybody what it's like. Like you said too, life is hard. Whether you're a normie or somebody in recovery, life is hard. Sorry, you ain't gonna get around that. So
yeah.
drinking or using your DOC is just keeping you further away from, like you said, finding that place of joy. Like
yeah.
true joy, right? Those moments like right now, you know, the joy that I'm experiencing doing this podcast with you, having you as a guest is so exciting. Oh, and by the way, you're going to be the first one launched on Down with Didi that we're just doing one. We're going to one a week. We were dropping three a week. It was kind of crazy. Now we're just doing one a week. And I just want to say, I'm really honored and proud that you are going to be our very first one a week Down with Didi guest.
And, oh, yay.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I said to DJ, I was like, I know who I want for that, to drop that one a week. Because some people are going to be like, oh, I'm not going to have three. I'm like, not now. we need yeah. to kind of make this palatable for a minute, and then until we can regroup, you know, making sure that, you know, like it's also boundaries for myself. How much can I do, right? And at what point does it become no longer joyful and fun, right? And I want my yep. podcast to constantly be about what we're doing right here. Right.
I'm so proud of you. I think that's really, really great just to step back and reevaluate. It takes a lot to do that because for me, and I, you know, I was posting every single day, if not twice a day. And then yeah. eventually I just got so burnt out. I was like, I'm not going to be able to keep this up. Like, eventually it's not going to be real anymore.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I've really slowed down with it. And when I feel called to post, I do. And when I don't, I don't.
I love that. I love that too. Cause yeah, I went dark on my social media and I didn't mean to, like, and people were like, hey, what's going on? Where are your random thoughts? I love them so much. And then I felt really good. Like, oh, I need to do one. And I thought, ooh, if it becomes a chore, then they're not going to get my authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to get Didi rambling and the cat running yeah. through and me trying to keep my thoughts clear, because that's one reason why I do them, is to kind of wake up and try to get my thoughts clear and, you know, give, you know, from my heart, my soul, my mind, my being, my, you know, my wisdom, all that stuff. And when it becomes like, oh no, I haven't posted in 5 days, it's like, that's okay, letting everybody know it's okay, right? I love that. Okay, here we go. Here's the big burning question. Are you okay. ready?
Yes.
BWB, what animal would you be reincarnated as and why? And I'm going to reach out of frame for a minute and grab my coffee.
Okay, great. Yes, get your cup of love. Okay, the burning question.
Cup
what
of
animal?
Love from New Mexico.
A cup of, oh, it's beautiful.
Handmade,
oh, I love that.
Handmade from beautiful under a tribe in New Mexico. Yeah.
Mine is a logo of my dad's fly fishing company. He's a bamboo fly rod builder, and this is sweetgrass rods that he's been in company oh, wow. with the yin and the yang of the fish.
Wait, so your dad made come on, help me out, why am I brain dead? I need more coffee.
He makes bamboo fly rods for fly
yeah, but
fishing.
He made it into a yin and yang symbol.
Oh yeah, yeah,
your dad oh, did he, that
he's very
amazing.
I mean, oh, incredible. I tell you, I would not have my life if I was not adopted by them. But I mean, they're Buddhists, and
you have a fish For those of you who can't see, he just showed me a Buddha with a fish on his head. And is that a Christmas hat? Oh God, I love that. That's something I would do. Yep. I love it. Oh,
My family is so comical. Okay, back to your question.
Oh, okay.
I love animals in general, so I would be grateful no matter what, just to, I mean, come back and experience this in a different set of eyes and a different brain. Yeah. And, you know, because I love life. I think that this is heaven. I think that this is hell. And I think that we are walking in that. And then whatever energy we go to, I think we go to if we don't recycle and come back. I'm wearing the leopard. I've always been so attracted and in love with the felines. I think that they're so majestic and just so powerful and so beautiful and also peaceful. I love that you have this gorgeous lion behind you. It's so beautiful. And
he's my spirit animal. I'm actually a Capricorn, but he's my spirit. He came to me when I was in rehab.
I can see this for you. Yes.
He just came to me and he settles me down. Like if I ever date again, for men out there who are interested in dating me, you need to have a personality like this big bad boy. That's the only thing to calm my ass down.
Yeah. I love it. And just, I mean, look at his eyes. They're just so peaceful. You know, like.
Yeah. He's powerful without being in your face about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, either a leopard or some type of bird of prey.
Wait a minute. Bird of prey, like the ones that go and grab things with their talons and
yeah.
they go off like with a deer and stuff. You're like, whoa, how'd that happen? Like a hawk or something?
Yeah, like an eagle, a hawk. Eagle. Like, I mean,
they're really amazing, aren't they?
They're just so incredible, you know, and I'm in Montana right now and we're just surrounded with bald eagles and falcons and everything. And they're just so, I mean, they're so incredible. We all hunt. We all, you know, if you don't eat meat, then, you know, you're hunting for vegetables and everything. But we all have that natural human life experience of survival. So some people would be like, oh my God, you want to be a leopard? Don't they kill? Well, yeah, so does everything else.
Well, they're trying to, hold on. They don't kill. They're trying to eat. Okay.
And survive. Yeah.
I mean, they would, I mean, if they ate fruit, I'm sure they would eat fruit, but they're not interested in fruit. It's like, wait a minute. I think, you know, it's interesting too. We do have to wrap this up, but I just love you so much. Will you come back on for part two?
I would love to. Yeah.
Okay. One thing I do with my podcast is I like to tease people. Like people are like, I want to hear that person more. I'm like, that's the whole point. Always leave them wanting more. But I do want to say this. I think that we do kind of live in a world right now where people are really quick, especially with social media, to come in and judge and be snarky. I always call them the snarks or the trolls or whatever we call them. And you know, the thing is I try to have compassion for them. At the same time, I'm just like I say, I'm just not interested in that kind of energy. And that's okay. I'm allowed to say, hey, listen, snark, not on my social media. Okay.
Yeah, not here.
That's cool. You do you, boo. But there's plenty other celebrities you can go and say nasty things to. Mama Jamma over here, I'm not interested in it. And that's so free. They say, people are like, oh, you're canceling. I'm like, no, I'm actually not canceling. Because I'm not saying people who disagree with me. That's fine. I don't care. I'm talking about outright hate, outright mean things. Like, I just wouldn't say half the shit some people say to me. That's so mean. I go,
yeah,
that was a blatant drive-by. I said something nice to my sister about her rescued dog and I got attacked from one of her followers. And I was like, well, that was just mean. I mean, it really hurt my feelings. And yeah. I thought it's interesting how like that hurts. And yet I know it has no validity. I mean, I said something nice about her rescued dog and they basically told me to get a life. And I was like, Wow.
See, those are the people that I immediately, and I'm so grateful for my parents who have taught this to me from such a young age. I have a lot of compassion for that because for those people, because when I see hate come through, and I'm very fortunate as a larger creator, I don't receive a lot of hate it comes and goes, of course, but immediately when I see it, I see a person in pain and they're releasing that pain and putting it off. You know, hurt people, and healing people heal themselves and others. And it's so true. So when I see people do that, I immediately look at them and I want to hug them. I want to give them love that they feel like they're not worthy of. I want to allow them to see that they don't have to hurt and they don't have to spread that hurt, because they want us on their level. They want us to feel as bad as they do. And that's truly what I believe. So I hold a lot of love and compassion for people like that, because I think that they too can get out of that and be a better person.
I just love you for that, because it's actually exactly the way we do kind of need to look at that. And this is why I say I'm not going to give you kind of any of my energy, because I can tell right now you're right. People do one of two things. They try to pull people down to their level, or the other choice is rise up to that other person's level. And sadly, when there's hate or self-loathing or not a lot of love going on in their heart or their thoughts, their reaction is to tear you down to their level, right? And when you're enlightened, you understand that, right?
Yes.
And that's what's so beautiful about, there's a new movement going on, babe, that you and I are so involved with. I'm not sure if you're even aware. It's this enlightened movement that is coming back to my friend Rich Gurman, who's out there saving orcas, and he's just doing all this amazing stuff.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, yeah. No, you should follow him. He follows me. You should follow him. I think he follows you. Anyways, he's an amazing man, and he does a lot of, he's doing a TED Talks coming up. But he basically had said that we have domesticated ourselves as men, not just our animals, but ourselves.
Yeah.
So we're not in tune anymore to the animals and the planet that we all are part of.
Yeah.
And we use the word domesticated. We've domesticated ourselves, and becoming more enlightened is a part of becoming less domesticated and part of the oneness of the Mother Earth, the beauty of Mother Earth and all our creatures and us, and we all can be in harmony, right?
Yeah.
Not 100%, but enough, much more than we are now. But there's a movement of us that are part of that, right? Let's come a little bit further away from your phones and go. I talk about a grounding, I think as they call it, go bare feet on the ground.
Yep.
You want to just kind of shake up your world a little bit, especially if you're going through your thoughts are fucking with you. Go take your shoes off and go stand outside. I don't care where, what it's on, if it's on the ground. If you're in the city, go find a tree and go to that dirt, the roots of the tree. I know there's probably a lot of piss from the dogs. Don't matter. You can wash your feet later. Go stand on the dirt.
Yeah.
And breathe in, and Mother Earth will send you some energy. You know, she's there to help us out, right?
Absolutely. Tree hugging came fully.
By the way, tree hugging, that we joke about the tree huggers. There's actually vibrate. When you actually hug a tree, now I'm going to sound crazy, but I don't give a shit. You actually hug a tree. That tree will hug you back with energy frequency.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right? So on that note, everybody go buy his book. Did you see me snap my hands and all the dog and cat hair go flying?
I did.
That's because I live in a farm and my vacuum broke. Not a real farm like you in Montana, but like I live in a rental with way too many animals.
Oh, I love that.
Listen, I want to thank you so much. You're such a beautiful, 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 beautiful human being.
So are you. Thank you.
Thank you. I want you to have a beautiful day, and just keep doing you, boo. All right?
I will. Thank you so much for having me. And
give your mom a big kiss for me, please.
I will. Thank you. I will.
Take your hands and say, Dee Dee wanted me to give you some of her energy. My areas of concentration in college were gerontology.
Okay.
So, look, there we go. Tell her I want to give her some light.
Thank you. I will absolutely take that energy. Thank you so much.
All right, honey. Bye.
Bye.
For more information on today's guest, check out the show notes below, or visit our website at www.downwithdeedee.com.